a victim, I can definitely advocate.
It's good to hear you say that. And
okay.
yeah, they're worried about cars. They're worried about ash on people's cars. And
yeah.
my guy's got $1 million insurance for automobile coverage. So I would think that would do it. But anyways, good luck today.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. So I think we are, how much, we have 65, which is wonderful. So should we go ahead and call the meeting? Okay, sure. Great. So I just want to let everybody know I'm Britt Rios Ellis. I'm now your Executive Vice President and Provost. I'm very happy to be here and very, very happy to be running your Senate meetings. So, and we'll have a little bit more time to talk as later on, hopefully in the meeting, but it's just a real pleasure and a real honor to be with you here today. So let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. And I'm really excited about my first Senate meeting. I've never run a Senate before, but I think Michelle and Cynthia have me well prepared. So here we go. I was a senator, so I'm very familiar and ready to go. We're going to move to this month's information items. We have a number of program modifications. And Dick, I just want to confirm that we have a quorum.
Yes, we do. We have a quorum.
Great. We have one graduate program modification to the Master of Special Education that has been approved by the Graduate Council. Are there any questions? I don't see any either, but I'm wondering.
They'll tell you if there are any.
Okay. So thank you, and let's go ahead and move to item two. And moving on, we have five modifications to undergraduate programs that have been approved by UKUI. Are there any questions about these five modifications? Okay, I don't see any hands. So then we can go ahead and jump to item seven. Okay, and I know that we have some guests, Andrea Ice, Deb Vanderlind, Lindsay Geitzen, Dan Goebel, Eric LaRocque, and also Erica Rug. So thank you for coming to explain the modifications. I think you can stay in the Senate. You're welcome to be here if you'd like, but seeing that there aren't any questions and that those items were so well prepared, we can go ahead and move through. And we'll now have a presentation on the University's Diversity Challenge by Judy Abelser.
Thanks very much, Britt.
Thank you.
Thanks, Xander, for putting up the flyer. So thank you all for inviting me. And I just wanted to take a little bit of time to walk you through the Diversity Challenge. So this is the first campus-wide common experience that we've developed. It's sponsored by the Council for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And it was developed by CETL and the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And what it is a series of challenges slash activities that we can all progress through on our own pace throughout the semester. So it officially began on January 12th with a launch. But we recorded that information and we've posted that information so that you can actually join at any point in time. The challenges are weekly activities. Xander, can you pull up the eSpace now? So the challenge is housed in this eSpace. And if you scroll down a little bit, Xander, first, perfect. So, and it's broken out into each week, and you have to move through the weeks, and we tell you sort of when to focus on it, but we specifically designed it so that we know that some people like to work in chunks and work, you know, more than 1 week at a time. Other people like to set aside about an hour at a time and work through each activity. So we set them all asynchronously, so you can work through them at your own pace. Each week, it involves about an hour's worth of activities. There are sometimes additional activities that you can add on if you choose. And then we ask for you to give a reflection. And the reflection is just so you can think about what you've just experienced and how it speaks to you. And then you enter in that reflection. We also have a group discussion board so people can chat with each other. And then once a month, we have a coffee and conversation that is a live session. It won't be recorded so that we can get into some deeper conversation. And we invite people just to share and reflect on the past few weeks' experiences. So in the flyer that Xander had up first, it gives you the link to register, which takes you right into this eSpace. So if you scroll down a little bit, right there, enroll in the Diversity Challenge eSpace. If you click that on, it will take you right to the eSpace, and then you're enrolled. And then you just work through at your own pace. We designed it so that it meets what we keep talking about as universal design for learning practices. So it's designed to meet the needs of diverse learners and individuals with diverse life needs. And we know that our life needs right now are very demanding and our time is very precious. So it's been designed so that you can work through it at your own pace while still making connections with your colleagues at the university. So this is the first pilot that we're doing of this. We hope to do a similar one each year, but we want to get feedback on it to keep improving it and developing it. This year's focus is a general focus on anything related to diversity experiences. It provides a wide range of opportunities and challenges dealing with diversity issues and diverse perspectives. Perhaps in future years, we'll focus in on one topic such as anti-racism or some other topic, but this year it's a wide range. So really, I just wanted to share the challenge with you, show you the eSpace. Xander, you can put the eSpace back up again. And then open it up to any questions or comments if you're already enrolled in it. Currently, as of this morning, we had 384 people enrolled in the challenge. It's open to all faculty, staff from across the campus, and students are welcome to join too, although we're not promoting it so much with students because we realize they have many Moodle sites of courses to deal with. So we didn't want to add on to their demands for this semester, but if they choose to join in, they're absolutely welcome to. I want to note that, as I said, it's sponsored by the Diversity, Equity and Inclusion Council, but it was developed by Christina Moore in Settle, and April Klaser, who is a graduate assistant in the Office for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And they've done a great job in finding the challenges, and then Christina has organized them all. So I commend them greatly for doing that.
And I just want to thank Judy for your presentation. This is a really great effort across campus. And I want to ask, does anyone have any questions regarding the diversity challenge? Any reactions, thoughts?
We welcome feedback to see how it, we know that there's lots of people here that are already involved in it, and we would love to get some feedback.
I don't see anything right now.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and I know, Judy, everybody knows where to come if they have any. So as you're going through and have any suggestions or comments for Judy, please reach out.
Dr. Rios Ellis, this is Xander. I see a hand raised, Gwendolyn McMillan.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, this is Gwendolyn McMillan. I'd just like to say that I'm glad to see that we're opening up a dialogue. So I really appreciate the effort. And that's really all I wanted to say. As an African-American faculty member of 20 years, it's good to see that we're beginning to have conversations together like this. So I really appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you. Our whole goal for this year is to really just increase awareness of diversity issues and diversity perspectives. So we all come from our own identity, and we bring our life history and our life identity to the picture. And the whole point of this is just to begin to make people aware and then connect with others to have conversations and discussions about diversity.
And thank you. And thank you, Gwendolyn, for that comment. I will tell you that if you haven't seen it yet, there is a wonderful film. Glenn and I were texting each other last weekend. If you haven't seen A Night in Miami yet, mm-hmm. you should see it. And there is debate, you know, were folks really at this hotel room? And I saw Michelle suggested another film on Sam Cooke. And I was watching that, and it was confirmed that that night did occur in that hotel.
Really?
Yeah, it did occur. Now, whether the dialogue was exactly correct, maybe one has to imagine what was discussed, but those four men were together. So it's a pretty amazing film. So if you get a chance, it's well worth it. And the only thing that I would say to correct, there was a little bit of history that was wrong. When they talk about the Birmingham bombing, there were actually five girls, not four. And if you want to look up the fifth, her name is Sarah Collins Rudolph. So I'll just leave that. We can come back to it later. So I wanted to give you some updates. One of the things that we're all very excited about, although a little bit hesitant in our excitement, is we have formed a vaccine task force. Nancy has been working very hard. Judy has done an excellent job at getting nursing students signed up, and we are getting very ready to give vaccines. Unfortunately, we don't know when we're getting them. We don't, you know, and hopefully we're getting them, but we really don't know definitively anything about that. So it's kind of like having your driver's license and not being able to drive and being 16 because you don't have a car yet. But just know that the entire campus is involved. We do have faculty members on that committee who've been adding their expertise to our conversations, and we have a vaccine plan, and we are moving forward and getting ready to move forward as fast as we can. Does anyone have any questions about this at all?
This is Leila Gassous from Mechanical Engineering. I'm just curious to find out, do you have a sense of whether university faculty would eventually be considered like essential workers of some sort, you know, because we deal with definitely a population that would put faculty at high risk. I understand the focus on K-12 right now, but I was just wondering that coming.
If we're in two, and if we're able to get the vaccine, we will begin to distribute the vaccine. I mean, the main thing is, and I do believe from dialogues from friends of mine at CDC and in DC, once it starts to roll out, it's gonna be fast. So we'll just hope that it all happens soon and we can be together safely. Again, if you can get it through your healthcare provider in the meantime, please do, because we don't have any definitive information regarding when it's coming, if it's coming. You know, we are just prepared and getting more and more prepared as we move through. I also did want to give you an update regarding the South Foundation Hall. It is in process or in construction. So there is some Wilson Hall noise. If you hear a drill above my head, please know that nothing is happening to me or any of the staff here. It's just the noise. So the Varner planning is well underway. The Dodge Hall first floor renovation, Research Drive research building purchase was final in December, and we're planning for renovations. So things are getting well underway. Another thing that I do want to let you know about, we'll still be doing the Friday updates each Friday, but we're also working on a monthly communication, which we're hoping to get the first one out in February, that the Office of Academic Affairs will be issuing to the campus community. And that's just to let folks know what we're doing, what's been going on, celebrate our accomplishments, talk about different initiatives. So that will be coming out monthly. So again, that's pretty much all I have. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, so then we can go ahead and move on to new business. Dicka will call the roll and let you know if there's a quorum. Dicka,
We have this wonderful system in which people sign in and then provided with a list afterwards, so we don't need to go through the roll call list.
Okay, great. Okay. So we'll move on to item C, which is approval of the minutes.
This is Julia. I move to approve.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
This is Dan Aloy. I second that motion.
Okay, so is there any discussion regarding the minutes?
I don't see any hands.
Okay, I don't see any hands. So let's move to a vote. Xander, can you please remind everyone how we go about voting?
Yeah, so depending on how recently you updated Zoom, it'll either be, and I'll bring up a PowerPoint slide here, it'll either be in the participant window, so you click participants and then you'll have your yes and your no boxes to check, or it will be under reactions. If you have a very recent update, you'll click reactions and you'll find a yes and a no button under there.
So all in favor, is everybody voting?
So if you're in favor, check the green yes.
Okay, so if you're in favor, check the green yes, and if not, vote no.
We have 24 yes and 0 no.
Okay, great. So then we can move into new business. So we have a procedural motion to staff Senate committees. Is there a motion?
Yes, this is Julia Rodriguez. I move that the persons listed be appointed to the committees or positions designated. That's it.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Yes, this is Dan Aloy, and I second the motion.
Great. Thank you, Julia. Thank you, Dan. So all in favor, could you please vote?
I have a question. This is Sumi Dinda from School of Health Sciences. I was just curious how the process works for appointing the members in these committees, because I have junior faculty who needs university services for their tenure. And I was, as a senator, I'm curious how this process works. I know there is an email comes out and people put their choices to serve in whatever committee. Of course, not everybody gets it, but how they are picked. Can anybody explain from the Senate steering?
You know, I'm gonna ask Michelle. Since this is my first go around, I'm gonna defer to Michelle. Michelle, could you please explain?
Yeah, so you're gonna have to unmute. I think we're good now. No, we're not.
I need to unmute. Okay. So the way this works is that we send out the survey usually at the end of January, early February. The survey is open all year. The link is available on the Senate website. And so you can go in and volunteer for a committee. And then if, as we have openings, we download that data periodically, but if we have still people who applied early on or indicated an interest early on, we go ahead with those. The Senate Steering Committee is the ultimate group that makes the decision on who goes on the agenda. So we actually look at the who's available, try to make certain that we're appointing people that to maximize our representation or fulfill the representation requirement under the city Senate committee charge. So that's how it's done. And then those are recommended. Sumi, one of the things that chairs often do is they will send an email when they're concerned about something like that. But one of the things I would always say too is that Senate university level service can happen in many ways and not just through the Senate. It's not the only university level service available. But if you need some help with that person, please just let one of us know.
Oh, then you are saying the link is open and these our faculty can go and fill it out, right? Mm-hmm. That's all. Yeah. Thank you for the clarification, because I didn't know. I'm new to the Senate committee, even though I served on it. I was recommended. So
Sumi, just I would just say that at this point, I wouldn't have anybody go in and fill that out because we'll be posting a new survey very soon.
Okay,
call for next year will be coming out really soon.
Okay, thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Okay, so just to fill everyone in, did we finish the vote? I don't think we did. So could we go ahead and could everyone vote regarding the motion to staff committees?
I have 21 yes, 0 no.
Great, thank you, Dika. So in terms of committee replacements on the General Education Assessment Committee, Sam Srai, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, from the College of Arts and Sciences is replacing. Oh, we just approved. I'm sorry. I'm reading them all. So we don't. Okay, we're on to Good and Welfare. Sorry about that. So we're moving into Good and Welfare. If you have an item for Good and Welfare, please let us know. Please raise your hand. Anyone have an item for Good and Welfare? Okay, so I thought I just wanted to give this next 15 minutes or so, if anyone has any questions for me as your incoming provost, and thank you for the welcomes I'm seeing in the chat. I really appreciate it. Any questions at all? Thank you, Michelle. And thanks to everyone else who's Gwendolyn. Jeanne, I really appreciate the warm welcome. Some people are asking me how I'm adjusting to the weather, and I'm actually the one in the office that gets really excited when it starts to snow. It's pretty interesting. Michelle told me, I thought it was snowing really hard, and she said, no, this is actually a dusting. So I'm also brushing up on my snow terminology, understanding what is a bad weather day and not, because I can guarantee you the other day, the 2 or 3 inches we had, I was so excited and definitely not a weather day here. Okay, so if we don't have any questions, I can we'll have a motion to adjourn and go ahead and give you back this this time. And thanks, everyone. Nice to meet you, too. So do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll so move. Susan Wood.
Thank you, Susan. Do we have a second?
Second, Ron Tracy.
Thank you, Ron. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, Dicka, do we have enough to close the meeting? I think we do.
We have 20 yes, zero no.
Perfect. Okay, well, thank you to everyone. I really appreciate virtually meeting you all, and I'm very much looking forward to the time when we can all come together and I can meet you in person.
Likewise.
Take care, be safe. See you soon. Mm-hmm.